More fake trades, including one for Aaron Gordon, and why everybody sucks at drafting. We wrap up our conversation with Ryan Bernadoni right now on this Wednesday Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hi there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. I'm their Boston Celtics beat reporter. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. Here for you Monday through Friday. So if you're new and just checking out the show, you're here every day if you want to subscribe. Monday through Friday, I'll have a show for you. Every Friday, it's a mailbag now. Every Friday's a mailbag show. So email me, jcorrales@masslive.com. jcorrales@masslive.com. That mailbag will be in conjunction with the mailbag that I post on Mass Live. So if you submit a question, it could be answered in the podcast or it could be answered on masslive.com. It's a big monster question answering session. So that's Friday. Right now, though, Ryan Bernadoni and I are going to continue our conversation that we recorded earlier. If you missed parts one and parts two, parts one and two, that was Monday, Tuesday. So Monday was a real setup on the mechanics of the salary cap, things that are different now, how it impacts Gordon Hayward. We started some fake trades with Gordon Hayward on the second podcast. We're going to wrap that part up here and then get into some more fake trades in the second segment with some other players. And in the third segment, trading up and why everybody sucks at drafting. Before I get to all of that, I just want to shout out Jaylen Brown, his grandfather. Jaylen Brown was on the Ellen Show and revealed that his grandfather was diagnosed with cancer before the bubble. And there was a point there where Jaylen was kind of maybe thinking about not going. And his grandfather, according to Jaylen, was ready to just not go undergo any treatment, just didn't want to fight anymore, was ready to accept his fate. And Jaylen, who his grandfather lives with him, said, if I'm going to go play, you're going to play too. And that's by going to get your treatment. So they came to an agreement. Jaylen went down to the bubble, was really the Boston Celtics' most efficient player and really maybe the overall most consistent player in the bubble. And luckily, his grandfather is doing well. According to Jaylen, he's doing great. So wanted to shout out Jaylen and his family. We didn't know. We knew something was going on with his grandfather. He had said something before in the bubble. It was never specific, so this is the first chance that we got to learn what was happening. So thoughts go out to him and his grandfather, and hopefully his grandfather continues this recovery. His grandfather seems super cool. I mean, that the way you see him in those videos, the Instagram videos training Jaylen in the boxing style, the video that he left for Jaylen in the viral thing that the Celtics put out, he just seems really, really cool. So I hope he gets better and sticks around for a while, because that would just make everybody happy. And so good luck in your fight, sir, in your fight against cancer. And thoughts go out to Jaylen Brown and his family as they continue to support his grandfather in that fight. All right, let's get back to the conversation with Ryan Bernadoni. We're starting off with a deal for Aaron Gordon.
The other way that you can go is to be a little bit bigger thinking. And the Magic are probably going to, you know, there's an argument that the Magic or a team like the Magic should be tanking next year. The draft is supposed to be exceptionally good, particularly at the top. They don't really have the talent that you need. They have a major injury in the form of John Isaac, who's going to be out all next year. Aaron Gordon is a player who I've written about before, about being a potential fit for the Celtics, sort of a better version of Harrison Barnes as he would fit into the Celtics, right? A third wing. You hope that he would accept a role primarily defensive, you know, playing alongside Tatum and Brown, maybe as a longer term solution. Even he has two more years on his deal, but maybe he is grows into a player who's like, oh, this is the perfect fit. This makes everything work together. He can even play some center. And they wouldn't trade him straight up for Hayward, I don't think. They might not even want Hayward because they might want to tank next year. But the Celtics have a lot of draft picks that they maybe don't need, right? Mm-hmm. And so could you work something out where you go to Orlando and say, we can turn 14 and 26 into 8? You know, 14, 26 and Carson Edwards is the one that I've thrown out there, into 8. And we'll give you 1 year of Gordon Hayward and the 8th pick, and we want your draft pick, and we'll give you the 30th, right? We'll jump from 30th to whatever they are. We'll give you the 8th pick, Hayward, and we get Aaron Gordon back. And that's sort of a bigger idea for the Celtics, right? Going for a player who's maybe at a higher level, only one player instead of two, but mm-hmm. a second year on the contract, somebody who's younger, who maybe fits in a little bit better around that idea of what the roles are going to be. And from there, you can talk about a whole lot of other stuff that happens, right? You can say the Magic want a tank. They don't want Hayward. You flip him to wherever, Chicago for Otto Porter, or to Atlanta's cap space, or to Dallas, and they get different, right? You can think of all different ways, but because it's the off season, you have lots of options for how to do that. That if you're trying to do this at the trade deadline, if they look at it and like, what do we want with Gordon Hayward? Then you're just kind of stuck. And that's, those kinds of things come off the table. But there are conversations you can have with teams, and with multiple teams in this case. And these are the things that get, I'm sure you get them all the time, right? Somebody tweets it at you. It's something that's like, we're going to do this, and we're going to trade this, and there's going to be a sign-in trade, and we're going to do a third team involved, and we're going to, and you're like, that's not going to happen. And usually it won't. Most of the time it won't. You get somebody in this conversation who says that they're not interested, but every year it does in some way. And I do the exact same thing. And I'm like, that's crazy. I don't want to talk about your 14 team trade. And then you look back at last year and you're like, wait, so the, how did all of these players end up on or not on the 76ers? Like Jimmy Butler and
right.
Josh Richardson and Al Horford and JJ Redick. And like, how did all of this actually structure? And you're like, it does happen. So you can think about it that way, but right, that's the other type of thing where you could say, yeah, we're not trading Gordon Hayward just for the idea of salary stuff. We also think that there's a better player, and we're going to throw in some extra stuff, and we're going to sort of balance the team that way. And right, all of these things are hypotheticals that you can talk about in the off season if you get to a point where you're like, yeah, maybe the right thing to do is to move Gordon Hayward. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on that. It depends largely. Like, again, I used Aaron Gordon as an example. There aren't as many other examples of that type of player. He's sort of one that fits into that. But if you're not a fan of Aaron Gordon, then you're going to say you don't really like that. Well, but it's, you know.
I was going to ask you about Aaron Gordon because I do see him having, I think, a role with the Celtics. I think
if he accepts it, it's part of that conversation.
And that's always the conversation with him, right? If he accepts that role. I think he's a guy that believes.
I was the fourth pick in the draft, and I'm the face of this franchise, right? Is he going to be the fourth option on the Celtics?
Right.
That's a question.
And that's a problem. Like, that's if he comes in and he is still harboring those delusions of grandeur, then that's going to be more disruptive than you might as well just keep Gordon and Gordon Hayward and just lose him.
I got it. I understand that in that context for sure. And again, that's sort of the, if there's other players who fit the archetype who maybe you like more, but I don't think there is in those sort of exact numbers and all that. But yeah, I understand that. It's just a player who, if you could strip all of that away and not worry about it,
right.
And maybe you don't have to worry about it. Maybe he's reached a point in his career where he's understanding of that, where you look at him and you're like, oh yeah, Jason Tatum's going to be playing a lot of on ball. He's probably not going to be able to spend as much energy on defense. You get somebody who can hit a spot up shot and do a little bit of creation and can guard fours and maybe play a little small ball five and a lot of talent and athleticism to go with an athletic team. And he's another high draft pick to go with this sort of talent collection the Celtics have put together, right? It all makes sense from that standpoint. But then you do get to the point of like, does he want to run pick and roll? Because he can't run pick and roll.
Right.
He's not allowed to run pick and roll on this team.
Right. Like, that's so much of this is theoretical that you get
100%.
I definitely get caught up on the, well, you know, if blah, 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 and if blah, 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 then you got something good here. And so, not to get too in the weeds, you know, on a specific name and holding you to that name, like you said before. But you know, Aaron Gordon is a really intriguing guy. And I'm sure there's probably dozens of podcasts right now that some point in this offseason go like, hey, you know, what if we got Aaron Gordon? What would he be like on this team? Because if you took him away from Orlando, if you took him away from that, I'm the face of the franchise, and you put him on a team where, hey, you know, it's pretty obvious that you're not the number one guy and you shouldn't be trying to be the number one guy. But also you have a coach who's like, hey, soar with your strengths. That's one of the Brad Stevens favorite quotes. And if you can put people, I know might not have, you know, the highest opinion of Brad Stevens after the Miami series, but there's one thing that he does. He does play two guys' strengths. And if he puts Aaron Gordon in positions where he can do the things that he does particularly well, I think that there is definitely value to that type of move. So I'm getting myself out of the business of shooting things down out of hand, because there's usually an argument for most of these discussions. But the bottom line is there's a very serious discussion to be had for if Gordon Hayward opts in, what do you do with Gordon Hayward? And is trading Gordon Hayward the way to go? And the more people I talk to, the more it just becomes like, yeah, you kind of have to really consider it. We can talk about the value of keeping him, but I know that in your ideal scenario, you're trading him, and I think it totally makes sense. Continuing the conversation with Ryan after the break. First, Built Bars, you got to go get yourself a box of these things. There are 18 flavors, 6 new ones, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, lemon almond cheesecake. You sensing something from these names? These are pretty decadent names, but it is a delicious protein bar that is healthy for you. Even though it's covered in 100% chocolate, even though you have all of these different flavors, including flavors for people with nut allergies, some non-nut options for you, soft and easy to chew. But if you're health conscious, boom, Built Bar, love it. If you're looking to lose weight, maintain weight, you can still indulge in one of these. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. I talk about them all the time. They're great for a keto diet. You guys know by now, my favorite flavor is peanut butter. Really, honestly, my favorite. Peanut butter is like my favorite thing in the world. But the peanut butter Built Bar is 19 grams of protein, 180 calories. So it feeds my body after a workout without decimating all of the calories that I burned when I was doing my cardio. And only 5 grams of sugar and 5 net carbs in that one. They're all kind of in that range. So give yourself a shot. Try the Built Bars by going to BuiltBar.com and using the promo code LOCKEDON. It doesn't matter. If you've used them before, you can go back and you're going to get 20% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify.
Yeah, I mean, what's happening here is, right, you can come up with all the reasons why it should happen, and you can build this whole logical construct of it. And then what it comes down to is that it's hard to make trades in the NBA.
Yeah.
The Celtics think that they're quite good. He makes a lot of money. There are teams that we might think should want him who would look at it and be like, nah, we're not really interested. Like I said, you could come up with all these situations for, I use Sacramento and Orlando. I can pick 5 other teams. And all of them might just be like, actually, we think he's a negative value contract and really don't want anything to do with that.
Yeah.
And that just nothing happens. And you're not trying to give him away. You're not dumping draft picks to get rid of him. That makes no sense, right? You're not going to Atlanta and saying, hey, we'll give you 2 draft picks if you take them off our hands. That's not what this is about. This is a situation of he has value. That value has a clock on it. Is it better to treat it as a 1-year rental in a title run, or to try to reset that clock with some other pieces who, again, we don't think are as good. We just think maybe you can make up some of it with fit and things like that. But realistically, do I think he's going to get traded if he opts in? Probably not. I don't think any $35 million, $34 million players are going to get traded unless, like, it's really super obvious that they have to be, right? If they're not agitating for it, I don't think it's going to happen. But what else are you going to fit all the, you know, we got to fill the podcast, right? Like, this is what you talk about if you're a sports fan.
Right. We've got content to fill. I got podcasts to pump out here. So we're talking about, we're going to go through all other teams and find a Gordon Hayward trade. Now, you did mention some other things about, like, trading Enes Kanter and Semi Ojeleye, little fringe things to just kind of open up spots, create a traded player exception. Can you just like run through some of those things that might make people might just blow off, but why is there value to some of these other things that you're proposing?
Yeah, so I think one of I said before that I try not to get into too specific on things I'm using, player archetypes and things like that, but sometimes, especially when you get down to the lower level things, there's things that all of us fixate on of like, that's really smart. Both teams should do that. We should do that. And so you have some of those, but the bigger thing I think that everybody needs to think about when they choose to think about team building and things like this as well, is that you need to have some amount of holistic vision. Like you can't make a trade or propose a trade where there's like a 3-for-1 on a team that has 15 roster spots and then not want to do anything else, right? Like you have to come to the end point where like you have a roster that makes some sense. And the tool that I built years ago is specifically for that, right? It's so that people can enter in a whole bunch of things and at the end, look at the roster and go, yeah, that's a valid roster. Okay, that makes sense as a team thing. So some other things that I put into my preview stuff is like, I think that Portland is a natural trade partner because they can't defend anybody, any big wings. They can't. They haven't been able to for years. You know, they run into LeBron James or Kawhi Leonard, and it's like, oh, we've got Carmelo Anthony or Gary Trent on them. Like, this is not a great solution. And the Celtics have Semi Ojeleye, who's probably not going to fit on the roster anyway. And he can't do much else, but their offense is Dame Lillard pulling up from 40 feet. So does it always matter who else is on the floor with them? Sometimes right. It doesn't. It's like Steph Curry. Like, you can put him out there with anybody, and your offense is actually going to be okay.
Right.
And Ojeleye is not I don't think he's a great defender. I think that he's sort of a solid defender who doesn't do enough. He doesn't get enough steals and things like that. But if you have nothing and you're going to play against LeBron James in the playoffs or Kawhi Leonard, like he can potentially help a team like that. And so I've thought that for a while. And then Enes Kanter is a player who's played there before. I think he was drafted, right? Did Olshie draft them even when he was, I don't know. He's been with him in multiple spots, I think. Right.
I thought he was drafted in Utah,
right?
Salt Lake. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe, I don't know. But he's had some amount of success with the Portland, you know, the season before. I'm assuming that Hassan Whiteside is going to be gone. They need a backup center. They have a trade exception. Players like Ojeleye and Carson Edwards, you think that you can just trade them anywhere, but you do. They're not minimum salary exception players. Even if they make the minimum salary, you have to have some way to trade them. And so trade exceptions and things like that become helpful for moving that kind of player. They have a trade exception that would fit both Kanter and Ojeleye in. I don't think the Celtics need either of those players next year, and like you can just give them away and it solves a problem for Portland. It creates a couple little trade exceptions, one sort of, you know, $5 million medium sized one that might be helpful not this season but next season, next off, you know, two off seasons from now.
Sure.
So you have trades like that, clear roster spots. Carson Edwards I think is a good fit for New York, where they have big guards and nobody who can shoot. Worst three-point shooting team in the league, lowest or second, third lowest volume three-point shooting team in the league. Not like no young talent, right? No like talent that anybody thinks is. They have a bunch of like fourth draft guys, right? Like they've been on every other team and nobody thinks they're good anymore. Carson Edwards, if you're trying to move him and right, New York, logical spot. Again, clear a roster spot. And you put all this together, it's like, okay, we make a 2-for-1 trade for Hayward, maybe if we have to, and then Carson Edwards goes out and Tremont Waters comes in and Kanter goes out and Semi Ojeleye. And like you put all this together and you're like, actually, you might be able to get under the luxury tax here, which might matter in a couple of years when they would otherwise be a repeater. And like you can, again, you're trying to make some sort of vision that's coherent. And the vision that I was trying to put forward in that is like, if you find yourself in a spot where you're trying to trade Gordon Hayward, you're probably going to be cutting salary that way. You may as well get yourself under the luxury tax. You may as well revise some other spots like center and get rid of some of, you know, make some decisions around younger players on lower contracts. And you know, it's time to cut bait on some guys. It's time to move some guys. It's time to try to make a roster that
right.
that fits for the year. And then you go into the regular season, and instead of having like sitting on a team that you did nothing with or did, you know, just the fringe stuff, and you're trying to figure out what you're going to do with Gordon Hayward in the season, maybe you still have, you know, the taxpayer mid-level left to use for the buyout guys are never any good, but you know, for a buyout guy, maybe you make your trade for a backup point guard at the trade deadline instead of, you know, in the preseason, stuff like that. But, you know, try to make a consistent vision across the whole team for the year that, you know, that's the kind of smaller trade that I threw out there.
Coming back in just a minute to finish the conversation with Ryan and talk about why everybody sucks at drafting. These are fun conversations to have with Ryan, but we have them when you're trying to avoid maybe having a difficult one with your partner. I know that erectile dysfunction is an awkward and embarrassing conversation to have, and usually you just brush it off, blame yourself. But you don't have to do that. Roman is here to get you the advice you want and the help you need with zero shame. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship you real medicine with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is very straightforward, it's simple, and it's discreet. You don't have to worry about any awkward conversations. Getting started is very simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOn and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to talk about, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOn to get up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment, a free online visit, and free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOn for up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment. GetRoman.com/LockedOn. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at LockedOn Celtics on Instagram. No, those make sense. I think the if you can get away with the 14 and 26 and Carson Edwards to get up to 8, like, holy shit. Like, that would be, oh my God. Give him
I actually think that that's fine value. Like, I have this little draft value card, and I get that the numbers actually never work out the way that it is because you always have to overpay to move up. But, like, if the Knicks were going to give you a second, if you could get the Knicks to say, we're going to give you a second round pick for Carson Edwards, a future second, they have 2 extra future seconds next year. I don't remember who they're from. Top 45 picks.
Sure.
You know, 14, they said that they want to trade back, or they're, I don't know, they haven't said it, right? It's been leaked and reported, whoever reported it, that they might be interested in trading back. There's a lot of people who are watch the draft who are like, there's no difference between 8 and 14. It's all in the same tier. Yep. There's no difference. And, you know, 14, 26, and a guy who you think is worth a second round pick to move back to get a guy who's in the same tier as you had him anyway. Like, it's not a wild decision that the Knicks would potentially make. It's actually probably one of the few smart decisions that the Knicks have made in forever. I don't expect it would actually happen. It might have to be 14 and 26 and the Celtics future first or something like that. And then you get into questions of if that's worth it. But, like,
that would be a bit much.
Yeah, I think so. Right. But if you have to trade up and there's, it all this stuff around the draft, I'm a draft nihilist in terms of how good people are at evaluating players. But what ends up happening here is that the guy who the Celtics have second or third on their board is sitting there at 8, and you got to decide if you want to go up and get him, right?
Right.
Everybody's got that. Everybody's got some guy who they, and particularly if you're a team and you try not to pay attention to the sort of groupthink Twitter because you have more resources than them, you develop your own board. We've seen Tatum over Fultz, Brown over a whole bunch of guys, Terry Rozier, they keep their own counsel on this. And if they think there's a guy that's sitting there at 8 who's third on their board, trading up from 14 to third is functionally what you're doing at that point, right? And that's a lot, you know, you might be willing to give up quite a bit. Maybe you are willing to throw in a future pick, but I don't know. It's, the draft is weird and nobody knows what they're doing.
Right. Nobody knows what they're doing is the absolute perfect assessment of the draft. Especially people who aren't on teams. That's for sure.
But the teams suck at drafting. Like, you can look at the history of the draft. The teams aren't great at drafting. They're good at, like, the first pick. They're terrible at the second pick. They're pretty good at the third pick. And then it's just a total nightmare after that. Like, the different historical difference between the 8th pick and the 20th pick is so much less than people think.
Right.
And it's because nobody's good at the draft. They're 19 years old. Like, who the hell knows? I don't know. It's impossible.
There's so many variables to... Yeah. Like, and one of my favorite things to say is situation matters. And you draft one guy to one situation, one guy to the same guy to a different situation. He could go from an all-star to, like, out of the league. I mean, that might be an extreme swing, but, like, if you're in the right spot with the right teammates in the right situation and your skills can be used, like, there's a reason why you're considered that high and you're valued that highly. But you go to the wrong place with shitty owners and a coach that's
the wrong team doctor, right? How many guys have had their careers derailed because they landed on a team with a doctor who you know, who did a poor analysis of their injury.
Right. Right.
And it's, there's, what are you going to do? How do you predict that in some draft model? It's like,
right. Like, oh. Markelle Fultz is the perfect example of this. Like,
well, there's an even better one on their team. They poisoned their first round draft pick. Zaire Smith, like, they poisoned him.
Yeah.
Functionally, they gave him stuff that he was allergic to. And it's like, right? How crazy is that?
Forgot about that.
Like, any other team that just has a different cook, like different chef, right? Is like, and he's a totally different career. And there's no way you can, that's just wild stuff, right?
Side note.
He'll look like a bust.
Philly's got some horrible team doctors.
Oh, they, I mean, they're very optimistic.
Like, if you've got an injury in Philly, just go somewhere else. Don't even go to the team doctor. But that's
You'll be back in 4 days and then out for 7 months.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You'll play one game and then you'll be out for 7 months. Yeah, it's
so,
I don't know.
So yeah. So anyway, what have I missed? Because I feel like we've been going for like more than an hour here, and I should let you go. But I think we've covered most of the stuff that I wanted to talk to you about.
In that case, we've covered everything.
I think we've covered everything. It's, again, as I said at the beginning of the podcast, I think the way you look at team building is much more nuanced than most people. In fact, most people that are paid to look at how teams should be built, and I'm including myself in that. So I always appreciate your perspective, because you do consider these things that I certainly don't consider. And it's much more long-term stuff. Like I said, it's nuanced stuff, but it's important stuff, because when people are talking about Jason Tatum and like, oh, Celtic for life, like that's, there's a lot of like rah-rah fan stuff, which is awesome, that there's a lot of infrastructure behind that. And I do feel like, and I know that podcast listeners, I said this when I was talking to Keith, podcast listeners, I think, are open to that kind of stuff, because if you're listening to a podcast now in the middle of October after a pandemic, if you're still listening to this thing, you're interested in the nitty gritty. So I do think that this type of nuance is important to give people, even if they forget 80% of what you said, just to understand that, wow, the stuff that you have to consider is vast, and it's so much more than we ever realize you have to consider. If people come away from this with that knowledge and understanding that, then I think this, we, you know, a mission accomplished on that. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate you saying all that. And that love of nuance is why I gave up on writing and went only on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want Jason Tatum to be a Celtic for life too, but it's a two-way street, right? You gotta, the team plays a role in that, and it's worth, again, if you want to, it's worth thinking about. And if you don't, enjoy the games, and
yeah,
you know, that's fine.
Just be a fan.
Just a sport.
There's nothing wrong with that. I will say, and I want to say this to you, whenever I do, because I'm not great with stuff like the salary, like the real nuance. Like, I'm not a math guy. I'm a word guy that really tries to like tape my eyes open and focus when it comes to all of this cap math and understand it, because I feel like I have to understand it, because I do have to explain it to some level. Whenever I have to write something cap related for Mass Live, and I'm really trying hard to make sure I get it right and to get all that stuff in there, and I publish it, I spend really like the next 24 hours after I publish it hoping that you don't reply to that tweet. Because
everybody who writes about the Celtics has a DM chain for me going, yeah, it's like 31 million, not 34 million.
Right.
It's
like, I don't.
Taxpayer MLE. Not, yeah, I know. I get it. That's,
I'm sitting there like, yeah.
God, I'm a jerk.
No. It's not that you're a jerk. It's that.
No, but yeah, I hear you.
I'm like, if I screw it up, there's like a bat signal that you're going to be like, somebody's misinterpreting the cap. Where is it? And like, I mean, I like being corrected. Like, I, it's, like I'm a basketball player. Like I always consider myself a basketball player. So I always accept some level of coaching and I consider this kind of that thing. So like if I screw something up and you like DM me or something like that, which you've, I think you've only really done once, maybe twice. I'd be like, shit, okay, remember that for the next time. But like whenever I do post something cap wise, I'm like, okay, did this get past the danger cart filter? Okay, it did. All right, I didn't screw anything up egregiously. Great. I don't have to edit this. Awesome. Which I appreciate.
That is a pretty accurate description of my role within, I'm not a part of the Celtics media, but my role adjacent to Celtics media is basically that.
I want everybody to know that this is your role because you serve an important role here to fact check us. And it needs to be recognized. And I want to freely admit that that is how I function. So thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
This was a great conversation. As I said just now, I have a ton of respect for Ryan's view of the game, the way he sees things, his knowledge of the salary cap. I think it's that in-depth knowledge of the salary cap that leads to some of the things that he suggests. And look, these are all hypotheticals, just like he was just saying. And I know some people coming at us on Twitter, and some of you might have an opinion of like, oh, you're trying to trade Gordon Hayward. It's like, no, it's not that anybody's trying to do anything. It's that these are financial situations. And if this was a different sport, if this was baseball, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But under the terms of basketball's collective bargaining agreement, this is something you've got to talk about. This is something that just has to be discussed. When you have a player that has a $34 million player option or whatever that fake number is, that's going to be a big chunk of your salary cap. And on the salary cap, it doesn't matter what his real number is. It's still going to be $34.2 million salary cap wise. So on the sheet, the Celtics are looking at that number. And if that's an expiring contract and you're not thinking that he's coming back, if that's what you're thinking, then some of these trades are things you have to consider. That's just how it is. And I've advocated, I like this team. I want to see them come back and I want to see what they can do. I would love to see Gordon Hayward opt out and sign long-term. I've laid out that case a lot. I think Gordon Hayward, people talk about him being injury prone. I think those are freak accidents. He is the most unlucky player, but injury prone is what Blake Griffin is. Blake Griffin is injury prone because he's got a recurring thing with his knee. That's what injury prone is. So all of these podcasts that we're doing are exploring options. And just because we talk about it and say that certain things make sense doesn't mean that we're all advocating for this must happen. It's just these are possibilities. And frankly, in the front offices of all of these teams, these are all possibilities that are being discussed. No one is off the table for the Boston Celtics. No one. No one. Depending on if the right deal comes along. So, sure, a trade for Jason Tatum is 99% impossible. But I guarantee you, there's a player or two out there and that Danny Ainge would be like, all right, let's talk. Because no one's untradeable. That we found that out. No one is untradeable. Now, there's no realistic situation. That's an extreme example. But there are always scenarios. People talk about Marcus Smart. Yeah, there's a scenario where Marcus Smart can get traded. Now, I don't think he should be used to be traded for a draft pick or to move up to the second pick in the draft. I don't like that. I know that's been floating around because Bill Simmons suggested it. And he even said in that podcast that he suggested it, but it was like, I don't think they'd do it. I wouldn't do it. That's what's happening now. People just start suggesting all kinds of different trades. So it's all hypothetical. It's all a way. For some people, it's entertainment. For me, for this show, it's less the entertainment value of let's see what kind of fake trades we can make. And it's more, hey, these are the things that the teams could be considering. So if you see something like that bandied about, don't be shocked by it. So that's what all of this is. Again, and I've said this before, it's all part of the effort to kind of show you the reality of NBA basketball. Because if you're listening to this podcast at this point of this season, you're probably heavily invested in how NBA basketball really works. And that's what we're here to do. And I'm trying to get some some people with great minds and think of this a great way. Keith Smith before, who has a great understanding of the collective bargaining agreement. Ryan just now with this three-part podcast. So, and more as we continue, just trying to get you the most and best information. So subscribe if you're new. Hopefully you enjoy that. This resonates with you and you can subscribe. So it gets directly to your device. If you follow on Spotify or however you listen to your podcast, you can find the Locked On Celtics podcast there. If you are a subscriber, I would love if you gave a 5-star rating, if it's available, a good written review wherever you can. That would be very helpful. And as always, share the podcast. If you're ever asked, what podcast should I be listening to? You can say the Locked On Celtics podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network.